Okay, so just as I mentioned, I wanted to start off looking back a little bit. It's about 7 years ago, believe it or not, it's early, more than 7 years ago actually, since we started a vision process here, where as a whole community, over a year's period of time, we basically asked ourselves the question, what does God want us to do? You know, we're a community together. What will God want us to do? What's our vision for the future going to be? And we out of that evolved this vision of hope and transformation. Remember that, maybe you can put that first slide up, Sarah. We have a vision of hope and transformation. So we're a community of hope and transformation dedicated to following Jesus. Okay, so whatever you say about us, we've got a lot of hope. We're really into transformation. Okay, we work very hard at that, right? And I would imagine most people present right now are aware of that. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to focus on that issue. And we're following Jesus. You know, we're open to everybody. We're a very accepting community. But there's no mistake, we're following Jesus. We're in the way of Jesus, and we're in that tradition. And, you know, I think devotion captures something of passion. You know, it's not, we want to be very, very passionate. And you know, we've described that vision or that way of following Jesus through growth, community, and servanthood. And you know, we growing spiritually, growing, that's the transformation part, but we do that in community together. We can't do that on our own, and community is very important to us. And then reaching out beyond this community to serve others. We see those as, you know, it's not a magic formula, it's not the only way of looking at following Jesus. I'm sure it's oversimplistic, probably, but it helps to have a way of looking at it and a way of addressing it. And so this community, this vision of hope and transformation, this dedication to Jesus, this growth, community, and servanthood has really, for the last 7 years, really driven what we've been about. You know, we've been very consistent about making decisions based on the vision that God gave us, and you can read our vision; it's on the back of the bulletin. We read it periodically here. We're not going to go through that again today, but I think it's a vision that is inspiring and it sort of captured our hearts. It's also somewhat dreamlike, and so we're constantly wrestling with, well, what does this look like in everyday life? What's the practicality of this vision? You know, because we sort of describe the future that we think will be the reality as we pursue it. You know, as we follow Jesus, we think the future will be different, and we describe that future in our vision. But we're constantly wrestling with, what does it mean though in the here and now, and how are we going to work this out? And that's a little bit about what today is, as we wrestle with that, you know, it's 7 years in now, and saying, okay, what about the next few years? What's it going to look like? What are our particular challenges? I think it's fair to say it's also been a huge challenge, right? It's a challenge to us personally. I go into this a little bit in the document that you'll get towards the end. It's been a huge challenge for us personally, which is good. You know, following Jesus is no easy matter. Personal transformation is no easy matter. Being in community with one another, no easy matter. Serving others, no easy matter. But it's also been a challenge because in going through that vision process, and then especially as we've lived it out, there's been differences of opinion, and we've struggled with that. You know, let's face it, some people have felt that, you know, they love Cedar Ridge, but Cedar Ridge is no longer the place they wanted to be part of. And you know, we love those people, we value those people, we respect those people, and we're heartbroken at the people that have left. But you know, it's been difficult. It's been a painful journey. And I know I've said you know, to many of you here, privately and publicly, I know that there's been a cost to following this vision. You know, one of the things we found when we went through the vision process was that there were so many different opinions and almost at times diametrically opposed opinions. And as we've sort of clarified things, that's been hard for some people. And we've been through some difficult times, I think it's fair to say, in terms of that. So I wanted to sort of acknowledge that. And especially I wanted to say thank you to all of you for being here. You know, I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and I think we should say that to one another as a community. Thank you for sort of walking through the challenge of that. Thank you for persevering. And also, I think we should thank God that we've got through some difficult times. I mean, we've addressed issues here as a church, and we're not going to go into the specifics of them, but I think those of us who have been here for a few years will be aware of it. We've addressed issues that have ripped some churches apart, that have been really traumatic to some communities of followers of Jesus. And we've got through it. I mean, it has been hard. We've also got through at a time when we
we've struggled with numbers through a very difficult financial climate, right? And I want to say again to you guys, thank you for the generosity of this community, that we're able to do what we do and pursue this vision in very practical ways just by the sacrifice that everybody's making financially. I mean, it's an amazing thing. So, you know, I think we should, I'm certainly thankful to you, thankful to God. I think we should be thankful to one another. I think we should be thankful to God, every single one of us, that we're here and we have this, I think, beautiful vision. And I think we're poised, this is my sense, we're poised to launch into really embracing that vision and living it out together as a community. Not to say that we won't have further struggles, of course we will, and further challenges for sure, because hopefully pretty much everything I'm going to talk about this morning is challenging. I think that we've established ourselves through some difficult times, and we're now ready to say, okay, let's reach out and embrace what God has for us. And that's a really exciting thing, I think. Also, looking back, I wanted to just share, you know, we have made a huge amount of progress. And I just wanted to tell a little bit of the story of that. I don't know whether you remember, 7 years ago, when we put out this document about our vision, we kind of spelled out the vision, and you know, a lot of people have been involved in formulating that. We took a stab, and I took a stab at this, and I can remember actually, I was sat watching my son play soccer, and he was on the sideline for most of the game, so I had my laptop with me, and I was like, okay, what would this vision look like if we were successful? And we came up with seven. This was me, not my son. It wasn't. He didn't write vision, by the way. But we, I was sort of wrestling with this and started discussing with some other people too. We came up with seven things that we felt we wanted to do. If we follow this vision, these seven things will happen. Let's just run through those, because I think it's really interesting to know how much progress we've made. And this is not retrospective. You know, these are things we said 7 years ago. So maybe Sarah, we could just run through some of those. We said, for instance, do we have any of those examples? We want to create an inviting culture of discipleship that permeates all we do, where people can get practical help and support on their journey of transformation, where people can grow and become healthier in every way. We've not finished with that, but I think a very substantial part of our progress has been exactly that. You know, if you think about our discipleship series and a lot of the resources that we've done over the last 7 years, and I think we've done something like 19 discipleship series. You know, we've written all that material, we've gone through it together as communities. Yeah, you know, some of it's been better than others, right? And we'll all have different opinions about that. But I think that's resulted in substantial challenge, substantial growth in our own lives. Okay, here's another thing we said we wanted to do. We want to devote our property to our vision. We want to intentionally develop this incredible resource so that it can be used to serve the world in life-changing ways. We want it to be a haven of environmental health and a place of refuge for people in need. This is way before we even thought about farming. Okay, and then the following year, we put another, you know, after we developed the vision, we put another team together to develop a vision for the property. Some of you, anybody involved here who's on that team? And I saw Ed Warner earlier and Len over there, you know, different people who were involved in that process that resulted in us making a decision corporately, together as a community, to farm our land. And we've been farming for 5 years now, and we're giving that food away. And there's we'll talk in a minute, there's a much longer term vision for our farm that includes things like we said back then, we want to start a farmer's market, and I can actually see that farmer's market through the doorway right now. So, you know, we're making some progress. Here's another thing we said, we want to develop and nurture an abundance of disciple-making communities all over this metropolitan area. Small communities of people who care for one another, help each other, grow and reach out to others. Just as a matter of interest, how many people are in a discipleship group here? Okay, we have an incredibly high percentage of people in groups. Now, you know, our total Sunday attendance, you know, that may be where we struggle a little bit, but we've got an unusually high number of people committed to groups in which they're growing, they're caring for one another, and they're serving others. And do we have any discipleship group leaders here today? Anybody who leading a group? Is she? Yeah. Whenever we talk leadership, hands don't go up as much. None of us want to get blamed, I guess. That's probably thank you to those of you who are leading groups, serving others. Thank you to those of you who are faithfully participating in groups. I think that has transformed our community. Something else we said, so our fourth thing, we want to be catalysts of change where we live in our neighborhoods and workplaces. We want to be citizens who make life better for others. who serve by leading creative initiatives to make the world in which we live a better place without seeking credit for ourselves or our church. Now, I think we've got a lot more progress to make on this one, but you know, I think we're getting in the habit of serving. Many of our groups are serving in their locality or in different projects. Three or four times a year, we as a church devote our whole service to going out into the local area and serving others. And you know, I think that's something we've got to work out a lot more, but you know, we're making progress in that department. Another thing we said was we want to start a long-term sustainable project in a developing country where we partner with local people, develop mutually enriching relationships, and empower the poor. We want this to be a project in which we can all participate in some way, where many of us can visit, whose people have a consistent visible presence in our church life. We had no idea about Impala, no idea that that would be Guatemala. We had no idea that there was a whole community of people from that city living just down the road from us. We had no idea that the mayor of the town in which that community live, or a substantial part of them, would become part of our community, and that this quite amazing connection would happen. And again, we had a team of people that worked for a long period of time, kind of trying to find the needle in the haystack, you could say, because there's so many opportunities, so many ways we could serve the world. But God has given us a partnership in Impala that looks, I think, very like this. Again, we've got a long way to go and some really exciting things ahead, but it's pretty amazing that we've been able to pursue that and be faithful to that, and God has really helped us with that. Something else we said was we want to start we're going to do another long-term sustainable project. We haven't started that one yet, though. We want to develop a ministry area specifically focused on helping people with emotional, psychological, and developmental struggles. We want to be a place of healing and recovery where we can offer rest, support, and hope, even to the most despairing. Well, I think a lot of our discipleship series, a lot of our workshops, a lot of the work of the Theophostic Prayer Group and other groups that have created a healing environment have helped us take some great strides in this area. But this is one of the areas where we feel we need to grow more. You're going to hear about that a little bit later. Do we have any more there, Sarah, on that list? I've sort of lost track. Oh, we want to pursue diversity where people from all kinds of different cultures and backgrounds can come together and enjoy life together, offering love and peace to our fractured and divided culture. I think, honestly, we are becoming more diverse. Diversity comes in all shapes and sizes, right? And some of pursuing that diversity has been painful, it's been difficult. But you know, here we are, a diverse, accepting culture. And you know, anybody can come. Anybody can come. Anybody can be accepted here. We all need to be transformed, for sure. But everybody is welcome. And we're not differentiating or judging. We're just accepting everybody and giving everybody a fair chance to follow Jesus. That when it's not unique, but it's pretty unusual, I think. And again, I think we need to thank God that we've been able to walk through some difficult differences of opinion and come to a place of unity and come to a place of love and peace together as a community. I think that's really amazing, really incredible. So, you know, we've made some progress. And I think, you know, it's fair to say we've put particular emphasis on four things as we've practiced our vision, as we've walked this vision out. Those would be discipleship groups, those would be the farm, and those would be Guatemala, and then also children and youth. And in those latter three, the farm, Guatemala, and children and youth, we had, those of you who've been here, you know, 5 or 6 years or more, remember we've had teams of people working on those issues saying, we want to be, for instance, more integrated with children and youth. We've got a long way to go there, but we've got 7 recommendations that the team that worked together for a year to develop, we've got 7 recommendations that we're pursuing in that department. An example of that integration is, for instance, this will be the second summer that we've sent a team of both adults and teenagers down to Guatemala, you know, working together. We're doing more integrated services. We want to get better at that, but we want to appropriately be a community that's integrated together. We've got more progress to make with the farm, we've got more progress to make with Guatemala, but those remain discipleship groups, farm, Guatemala, and children and youth. Those remain key areas where we're putting a lot of energy. Okay, so what we're going to talk about in terms of the future doesn't negate those things at all. We've still got lots of work to do in those areas. Just as a matter of interest, I want to read you something that is in the farm vision. And these documents are all available online, by the way. But I just wanted to read you something from here, which again I think gives us some retrospective sense of, okay, God is really helping us with some of these things, and also some exciting challenge of what is yet to come. Here's an excerpt from the vision document for the farm. By turning over a substantial part of our land to grow organic fruit and vegetables, we'll be able to serve our community in the following ways. Giving food to the poor and needy, good quality fruit and vegetables are an identified need. We discovered that when we researched the community around here. So here's another way. Developing a farmer's market store on our property that could become a community hub for local people. We want to provide a way for local people to serve in meaningful ways in ongoing projects on our farm. We will join with people from all walks of life and faith backgrounds to make the world a better place. We've recently began partnering with some other churches and also with the Starbucks branch down there at Birdsville. You know, slowly more people from outside our community are coming in and working on the farm. Starting a farm will not be easy and it will require great discipline. And we talk about, go on to talk about sort of hard work that's going to take. But we also look ahead to the future and we say this. So here's where we're headed with the farm. Our farm will grow to be a resource for ethical and environmentally sound living in all we do at Cedar Ridge. We want to have as positive an influence on the environment as possible, which means overhauling our current practices and structures. In other words, we want to get way better about our carbon footprint. We want to get way better about being a place where we can demonstrate and help people grow in living in more sustainable ways. We want to develop a center for spiritual retreat and growth. The seasonal, rhythmic, mindful work of farming lends itself to spiritual discipline and exercise. We haven't moved in that direction yet, but that's part of our vision. We haven't given up on that vision. So what we see now is not the full expression of the future. We also want to be a place where people can engage with nature in deep, empowering, and healing ways. Serving children and adults with nature deficit disorder could be a natural consequence of us becoming a farm. In other words, we believe that there's a broadening of the scope of the farm to happen that will include other people able to come in and experience something that they couldn't experience where they're living in a transformative kind of way. I mean, we particularly think of this in terms of younger people living in urban areas and all the challenges that they experience as a result of just being disconnected from nature. We could be a resource to people like that. So the reason I'm saying all this is we've made a lot of progress. We've got a lot of way to go, but there's some really exciting things in our future, and we're not taking our foot off the pedal in any sense on those important things. So we're going to have more Guatemala, more farm. We're going to be focusing more on our discipleship groups, and we're going to be focusing more on our children and youth. We really want those to be successful areas. Okay. Now, as I said, we sort of transition a little bit here. We're also conscious that we've got many challenges and we want to grow and do better in those areas I've just described. But also, we spent some time about 2 years ago, this is really where the process started, about May 2011. We got together as a leadership, and that meant basically staff pastors, the board, staff directors, and other ministry leaders, people who led whole ministry areas. I'll give you an example, someone like Steve Mather, for instance, who's overseeing high school. He wasn't on staff, but overseeing high school. Leaders like that. We all got together, there's probably about 25 of us, and we prayed and we discussed and we talked about where are the areas where we need to grow. And we came up about 2 years ago with five areas. Now I'm going to share those with you. And you'll have heard of these before. You know, we've talked about these and there's been documents released. The first one was this, maybe we can put these up, Sarah. The first one was to nurture visionary leadership. I think I may have skipped ahead a slide or two. First one was to, there's five strategic initiatives. Nurture visionary leadership, because we believe that everything is going to depend on our ability to lead the way forward. And we wanted to really strengthen our leaders. We also recognized that we saw leadership and discipleship as very closely related. In other words, if our business is being and making disciples, in other words, if part of being a disciple, part of being a follower of Jesus implicitly means helping other people do the same, then really leadership, influencing other people, is tantamount to discipleship, because everybody's in the game. Everybody's in the game of helping other people. Everybody's in the game of influencing somebody else. So we saw this as a really vital thing for us. Now, one really important thing that came out of this initiative pretty early on, so I'm going to share with you some things that are already happening. already happening. As we think about the future, some of these things are already taking root and already bearing fruit. One important thing that came out of this leadership initiative, okay, so that was the first of the five, was looking at our structure as a church, and particularly our pastoral structure, and it resulted in us recognizing that we needed a different kind of structure. And that resulted in the formation, eventually, of the pastoral team last year. That pastoral team includes myself, and I lead that team, I'm the lead pastor. It also includes Colin Heitkamp, Trish Ordy, Bill Duncan, Vite Thurston, and Brian Peterson, who's the other pastor on staff along with me. And so we have a team of leaders now overseeing the church. I lead that team, and that's been so good for us as a church. It really helped me, I can honestly say that. It's also been really good for us as a church, because what's happened is we deepened and widened our leadership reach in our church. And that actually was the theme of all of these five strategic initiatives, deeper and wider. We felt that Jesus wanted us to go deeper in our commitment, deeper in our own personal transformation, deeper in our devotion, if you like, when we think about the wording of our vision statement. But more than that, we wanted to go broader. We saw the need to include more people, to include people within our community in that depth, but also to reach out beyond our walls and invite more people into this adventure of following Jesus. So deeper and wider became our kind of mantra, if you like. And so these five things that came out, these five strategic initiatives, were very much related to going deeper and wider. And leadership was the first one. They're not really in a hierarchy, but that seemed very clear to us. And an outcome of that was the pastoral team. Now there's still a lot more work to do with leadership. We'll see that in a second, but we formed teams for each of these initiatives. So in setting these initiatives, we'll go through them one by one in a second, a team was formed, and that team began to work on those issues. So just as a matter of interest, who was on the that team that addressed that first initiative of leadership? That was led by Vite Thurston. Vite led that. Anybody here? I know, I think Laurie Austin here? I know you, Laurie was on that. I think that's quite a while ago now, and that's nearly 2 years ago, and I think Scott, are you Scott around? No, he's not here. Anyway, there was how many people were on that team, Mike? Well, Bill was on the team.
Six of them.
Okay, that's six people on that team. Okay. Oh, Lisa, yeah, my wife, she was on there. Yeah. So there's a bunch of people on that team. The second initiative, okay, maybe we can put this one, it was align Sunday services with our vision. Okay, we recognize that. We love gathering on Sundays, we love what's happening, but there's ways in which we want to improve what we're doing, we want to become more engaging with what we do, we want to create a more dynamic opportunity for God to be present to us, and also we wanted our Sundays to be more inclusive of people from the outside. We put a team together for that. Brian Peterson led that team, so these teams sort of formed at the end of 2011. Was anybody on that Sunday's team? Anybody present here? A few people at the back there. Okay, I think Brian was about 10 people on that team who worked then on that. Okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to address this issue? A product of that already, or this happened last year, was moving to one service. That team felt it would be very empowering for our community to go from two services at 9 and 11 to one service at 10. So, you know, there's been some outcome of that already. Next initiative of the five, find the people who want to find us. This was a sort of careful way of saying, look, we don't want to go around sort of marketing ourselves and being necessarily making our goal numerical growth. But we do believe that healthy churches grow, and we can do, we believe, a way better job of just letting people know who we are. Like, we understand, I understand this very acutely because I've interacted with new people. Not everybody likes us, right? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I know, for instance, for a fact that some of us here, it's a little bit awkward in our families that we go to Cedar Ridge, right? We, you know, if we were to explain what Cedar Ridge is like to maybe, you know, other family members, we have to kind of, you know, edit a little bit, right? Does anybody have that experience? Yeah, I have that experience. So not everybody likes us, but I think a whole bunch of people, if they knew about us, would like us. And that's what this team that was put together, led by Jennifer Hoffman, you led that team, right, Jennifer? Anybody, was anybody else on that finding people team here? I don't know how many you had on that team, Jennifer, would you say? There's a few people dotted around. Okay, about seven people on that team who will say, this is a massive challenge. How can we present ourselves to the world and engage more people? Fourthly, we decided we wanted to establish a strong, healthy financial framework for our community. That makes sense. Products of that, I mean, you know, I suppose that's at a twofold level. One would be structurally, we want to have good financial governance because we've got lots of things we want to do, like the farm and Guatemala and all sorts of other things. But also personally, where we want to lead ourselves into, as a community, into financial health personally. Now, an outcome of that team, which was led by Todd, Todd's not here this morning, and several other people that were on that team, is, let me tell you three outcomes. One, that whole initiative has been handed over to the board. So I'm not really going to say too much more about that this morning. The board are taking that on as part of their role of overseeing financial governance. It was led by somebody, Todd, who's on the board, who's our treasurer. And so they're working on that now. And a couple of quick outcomes from that have been, we've refinanced again. You probably heard about that a few months ago. So we've refinanced, I think we refinanced about 3 years ago to a much better interest rate on our property. And we refinanced again just a few months ago to an even lower rate. And that means that we are now on course to pay off all our debt in 10 years' time. All right? Now, I think we'll pay it off ahead of that. But if we just keep on at the current rate we're going, we'll have paid it all off in 10 years' time. Which, considering we have 63 acres of land, and considering how much money was put down for that, that's pretty good going. And what that means is, if we pay off our debts, we'll free up, in the current situation, $250,000 a year, which we'll have to find something to spend it on. I am really looking forward to that day. I just got to hang on in there for 10 years. Just think what we could do with that. Just think what we could do with that money. Now, you know, things are going to change, and I think we will pay that off ahead of 10 years. But that's really exciting news. Another outcome of this initiative is what we've just been through for the last 6 weeks. You know, that team discussed having a series where we would address finance. We're not done yet. Don't think money's going to go away just because we had a series. And we'll be talking more about that in the future. But I think that's bring some recognizable good outcomes to it. The final one was become a healing community. This was really wrestling with one of those things we said we wanted to be, the kind of community we wanted to be when we released the vision 7 years ago. To say, okay, can we be a place where no matter how broken you feel, no matter how despairing you feel, no matter how messed up you may be, can we be a place where anybody can come and get real meaningful help? Now that may mean referral to a professional counselor or somebody who works in that kind of healing profession. But we also think there's a lot that we can do as we bring God's love and God's power to other people. And we see that evolving in a couple of simple ways. One would be, we all need healing, right? We all have different areas of woundedness and brokenness in our lives, kind of that just happen as part of everyday life. So healing is a very normal, equitable thing. We're all in the same boat. But also, we recognize that at different times in our lives, and perhaps for certain people in particular, we go into crisis where we need special help. So one aspect of what we're doing is just kind of raising the level of healing in general in our church, and our ability to be agents of healing to one another, and growing in that, but also developing and training up a group of people that can really help people who are in specific crisis. And that healing team was led by Raphael. Where is Raphael here today? I don't think he is. And Roger, what about Roger Pickering? Everybody's done a runner, I guess, but they're not here today. Was anybody else? I know Laurie, you were on that team, and Teresa's been on that team, and we're going to talk more about this in a second, because there's another, since these teams have done their work, some other teams have been started, and one particularly focused on this kind of thing, but you know, many people have been involved in that process. So, you know, we defined these initiatives back in 2011. We set these teams up, and these teams worked on these initiatives. In the meantime, a pastoral team came into place towards the end of last year, and then just not long after that, these teams delivered their findings, delivered their recommendations to the pastoral team, and we have since been working on those. So for the last 6 months or so, on integrating those and trying to say, okay, so given these initiatives, which are somewhat abstract, what are we actually going to do? What can we do as a church? And this is the point at which I'm going to hand out this document. I wonder if some people would just help me distribute these. Thanks, Mike. If you just send these around. So what I'm going to do, this document is 4 pages long. Could you just hand it around? Thank you. Don't worry about the first 2 pages, okay? So just turn to the bottom of page 2. So it's a 2-page document with 4 sides. And you'll see that what we've done, you know, pretty much what the first 2 pages is just going over whatever's talked about. But we've come to at the end of page 2 to 8 visionary tasks, okay? So when you get the paper, just look at page 2, so the back of side 2 of page 1, if you like, and look at the heading 8 visionary tasks. And these 8 tasks are very similar to the 5 strategic initiatives. They're just ways in which we've integrated them, broken them down, and try to make them more concrete. And these visionary tasks themselves are now giving birth to teams. So I'm just going to run through these. And what I'm actually going to do is just read these out. You can follow along. I'm going to read out what is written on that document. And obviously you'll be able to take this away with you and look at it in more detail. But so number one, this is a task. These are 8 tasks in addition to all that we're doing in community in Guatemala and farm and discipleship groups and children and youth. You know, and by the way, all of these tasks apply to everybody. So these tasks apply as much to children and youth and what Brian and Trish are doing with high school and middle school and children younger, as they do to adults. But our first one is transform our Sunday services. Our goal is to reimagine, reinvigorate, and take action to transform our worship service to become more aligned with our vision. We haven't really made a lot of changes in our Sunday services over the past 7 years. And don't expect any immediate, rapid change. We want change to be slow. But here's what we want to do. The purpose of our worship services is to be a consistent oasis of hope and authenticity where people from all walks of life come together to experience the loving, dynamic presence of God and are inspired to follow Jesus. We want our services to be more accessible, including for people currently outside our church, more engaging and experiential through the use of spiritual practice, art, technology, and sharing stories. So you can begin to expect less talking head and more interaction, more experience, which I think you'll probably be very grateful for, right? Am I right? A polite snicker goes around the room. Okay, more than anything, we want to grow as a worshiping community. Okay, we want to grow as a worshiping community. You may want to make your own assessment. How well do we worship? How well do we abandon ourselves to God? How well do we engage with the dynamic presence of God? Well, we want to grow as a worshiping community. A community where everyone can experience God's transcendent love and beauty together as one people. So we have a team together that are working on those things. Okay, that team includes John and Carrie Lewis, it includes Darren and Jonathan, it includes Sarah Huey, myself, Dave Weber, Vicky Thurston. Who am I missing here? Other people on that team. Teresa. Teresa, who has dramatically transformed our sound booth and done some amazing work out there along with Sarah. So, you know, we're working on some things behind the scenes. We're working on some things that you'll very much see up front as changes. All right. We're also, as you can see there, an important aspect of this is to develop worship as a normal part of the Sunday experience for children and youth. Okay. We want children and youth, whether they're out there or whether they're in here, to experience the dynamic presence of God and to grow into that. Okay. So. That's the first one. And we have a team that is now established working on that. Second one, define our content. That sounds a little bit strategic-y. You know, what does that mean? Well, we want to flesh out what is captured in our vision through healthy, meaningful, and accessible teaching material. So what we're going to start doing is try to work out, okay, what is our curriculum, if you like? So this could be called the curriculum for our vision to follow Jesus, and we want to expand and deepen what we have already established through the Journey Seminar, for instance, and the various discipleship series and associated material. The goal is to establish a broad base of teaching content to help us grow in theological, biblical, and spiritual sensitivity and depth. This in turn is all directed towards life application. Okay, so we don't just want to become better at knowing stuff. We want to apply it to our lives and learning to live healthy lives in the way of Jesus and helping one another share that life with others. We see the need for a variety of learning contexts, such as groups, workshops, retreats, and seminars, and the need to incorporate different learning styles, as well as the different ways in which we all approach and experience God. An important aspect of this is to develop a comprehensive curriculum for children and youth at Cedar Ridge that will be relevant for each age from 0 to 18. So we want to work out, okay, what's most appropriate out of what we value? What's most appropriate to teach at which age? You know, and you know, if you're talking about, we're probably not going to, you know, lecture three-year-olds on sexuality. Okay, you know, as an example, that's a bit of an extreme example. But also, what does it mean to love somebody? You know, when we talk about that at different age levels, at what point do we talk about the dark side of life? At what point do we challenge people to follow Jesus? At what point do we talk about peer pressure and that kind of thing? So, you know, we want to have a way of approaching that consistently with kids so that, you know, ultimately you could go through, you could spend your early life in this community and, you know, get some comprehensive content rather than it being somewhat random. And, you know, Brian and Trish and the leaders in children and youth have done incredible work serving our children, serving our young people. And we really want to put more resources and help into that area. Okay, so that's the second one. The third one is strengthen our discipleship groups. Okay, we want to, there's Bill's saying a big yes to that, because Bill Duncan leads our discipleship groups. Our discipleship groups have developed into wonderful communities that are living out our vision of hope and transformation. These groups are the primary vehicles through which we've fostered spiritual growth, caring for one another, and serving others. We want to deepen this commitment and expand it to include more people. We are creating a system to provide more support and training to existing group leaders, as well as recruiting and develop new ones. We also want to help groups access material for spiritual growth and create more opportunities for service. So this really reflects what we're talking about as something we've been growing in the past. I mean, this is nothing new. We're just re-emphasizing. We see this as really important, really important. Number four, empower a community to help others follow Jesus. One of our most important challenges as a community is to become followers of Jesus that also help others follow. This is crucial for us. This goes back to our mission, to be and make disciples in authentic community for the good of the world. There's an implicit making of others. There's an implicit giving your life away in the receiving, in the being of following Jesus. Okay, so one of our most important challenges as a community is to become followers of Jesus that also help others follow. In other words, people who share their lives with others and include others in theirs in such a way that the life of Christ flows out of us and helps others experience the transforming love of God. This is a delicate balance. Okay, so this is tricky for us, I think, here at Cedar Ridge. This is a delicate balance because none of us want to be pushy about our faith. Anybody here want to be pushy about their faith? Okay, we've come very often, many of us, from backgrounds where kind of religion was maybe rammed down somebody's throat or where guilt was used, etc., etc. And so we've kind of backed away from that. We've experienced some healing from that. But we're also, we've got to wrestle with the fact that there's still a challenge for us there. Okay, so none of us want to be pushy about our faith, and yet we are all challenged to intentionally share God's love with others in very practical ways. To this end, we want to work with leaders in all areas of our church to help us all grow in the art of helping others follow Jesus, both inside our church and out. We also want to invite our whole church into this adventure. The purpose is that we all become more deeply connected to God, more acutely aware of our own strengths and weaknesses, more compassionately present to others, and more confident in our capacity to be a conduit of God's love and power into the real lives of those around us. We will develop a variety of seminars, workshops, groups, and other learning environments to experience this. Okay, so we're going to, you know, you'll see coming up in the years ahead, you know, next year, which begins in September, and the years ahead, you'll see workshops, seminars, various. We're going to really invest in leadership areas of our church where there is direct influence of other people. For instance, our group leaders, our children's leaders, our youth leaders, people who are involved in our healing ministry. We want to do a much better job of helping and supporting one another to grow in this ability to be able to give our lives away. But not only that, we want our whole church, every single one of us here, to grow in that way so that we can be more confident about healthily and naturally sharing our faith with other people. Not necessarily in terms of some evangelism program, but just sharing who we are, sharing our story, and engaging with other people's stories. Now, number five, increase the healing capacity of our church and community. A vital aspect of the vision is to be a place of hope where we can find help and healing and the power to change, no matter how desperate the situation. That's a direct quote from our vision. We embrace healing in a holistic sense, spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical, and we see this as just a normal part of life, as I was saying earlier. To some extent, we all need to experience healing in the normal process of spiritual growth. And there are also times and situations in people's lives where more specific and intense healing is needed. To that end, we are developing a team of leaders, so we're in the process of doing this, a team of leaders that can both train and assist our pastoral leaders, i.e. group leaders, children's leaders, and youth leaders, those who have the task of shepherding our community, in creating a healing environment, as well as providing direct care and support to folk who need more specific healing intervention. The latter will be accomplished through various approaches such as prayer and lay counseling and various contexts, one-on-one support, groups, group support. You know, so there's different ways of providing healing and different contexts, or different types of healing and different contexts in which that healing is provided. Some people need a group in which they can experience healing. Other people need just one-on-one help. Okay, so we want to really move in this direction. Now, each of these tasks has a leader. Okay, the first one that we're talking about, transforming Sundays, I'm the leader for that, and I have a team that I'm working with, I mentioned earlier. I'm also leading the content one, okay, and various people are involved in that. The third one, which was all about discipleship groups, Bill Duncan is leading that, and he has a team of group leaders that he's working with. The fourth one, which was about empowering us to share our faith and to be transforming leaders, Vike Thurston is leading that one and working very closely with the pastoral team and soon with more leaders, as I mentioned, the children and youth and group leaders. This one, Vike is also leading this healing one. Vike is leading this, and Vike, you've developed a team now for that group. I know Teresa, you're on that team, I believe, and Laurie, and there's some other. Anybody else on that team at the moment? I know Roger is. Gina's on that team. Anybody else, Vike? Kate Thomas, is Kate here? Kate is there. Okay, so there's a team of people that are saying, okay, we want to put wheels to this ideal of being a healing community. And some really exciting things going on there. So, and you'll be hearing more about that, you know, over these next few weeks and months. Now, these next three, okay, so invite and include our local community. Improve newcomer connection. Nurture connection within our own community and on our property. These are all being led by Colleen Heikamp. So Colleen, who's on the pastoral team, there's Colleen. And she has a team of people that have become, originally they were called the Finding People team, but we thought that was a bit crass, right? So they're called the Outreach team now. I know Jennifer, you're on that team, and I know Melanie and Lisa, who aren't here, are on that team. Anybody else on that team? There's a few. Yeah. Sue and Melinda. Okay, so there's a team that are working on these three initiatives. Now, I'm not going to read each of these out, okay? But I would encourage you to read them. But here's the deal. We want to be better. Okay, 6, 7, 8. We want to be better about reaching out to our community. Okay, we want to let people know that we're here. We want to engage with the community in what the community is doing. So, you know, things like Birdsville Day, which we've participated in before, but just understanding our community and being present to our community. Some of that has a kind of a marketing flavor to it in some respects, just letting people know out there through flyers and brochures and press releases and ramping up our website and just being more inviting and inclusive that way. But also by hosting things on our own property. An outcome of this, for instance, has been the Harvest Festival. You know, we had that Harvest Festival last year. We're going to do another Harvest Festival this year. There will be other events that we're doing where we want to invite the community onto our property. I can still see all the farmers market people out there right now. I'm sure you're itching to get out there. But you know, we have more and more people coming onto our property as a result of the work that this team of people are doing, and we can expect more of that. And so our hope is that people will want to connect with us as a community, and that they'll want to connect with Jesus. I mean, ultimately, that they'll connect with Jesus. And if this isn't the best place for them to do that, then we want to help them find somewhere where they can do that. But we would love them to be part of our community. And so as we reach out in these three ways, by reaching out and then being more embracing of people as they come, you know, we want to do a better job of greeting people and helping people at that first touch level when they come to our church, but also following up with people and providing resources for people, helping them after they've come to get more connected, and doing that sooner and more efficiently. And then also just opening up our property in general, you know, opening up our prayer walk, our nature trails, our labyrinth, making this an inviting and a warm place that reflects our vision in terms of the decor and the sort of ambience and the atmosphere of the place. That team are working on all those things. And if you have thoughts and ideas about that, I think it's fair to say, talk to Colin. We want to be very proactive about including other people. Okay. Rushed through some things there, but please, I encourage you, do read through that document. I want to end this part, and then we'll go to some questions. Okay, we could just have a little bit of discussion for a few minutes. I wanted to end this with So what can you do? Okay, so a lot of this reflects things that are going to create opportunities, some within weeks, some within months, some within a year, that you'll be able to connect with. Okay, so there's teams in place now working on these things. We're just saying, look, here's where we're headed. Here's the emphases we want to have as we go forward. Okay, so lots of opportunities are going to come up, and I want to encourage you to dive into this. But what can we do at a practical level? Well, let me say this first of all. I think the big challenge for us right now, okay, we've got these five initiatives and these eight tasks, and I'd encourage you to focus on these eight tasks. The biggest challenge we have right now is this, I think. Many of us, if not all of us, have really benefited from being part of this community. Right? We love being here. I think it's fair to say that we found home. Right? Maybe some of us more than others, but we found home. We've really benefited from the fact that this is an open, inviting, inclusive place. We've benefited from the fact that we create space for doubt, we create space for questions, we create opportunity to grow at your own pace. Right? We've benefited from that, and that's a beautiful thing. The question now is, if we really believe in this vision, if we love our vision that much, if we love what God is doing here that much, to what degree are we prepared to own it and make a way for other people to experience the same thing? Okay, the transition, if you like, or the question is, are we prepared to transition from being a participant and a beneficiary of this vision to an owner of this vision and say, okay, what do I need to do to make way for other people to experience the same thing? All right, so for instance, one thing you can think about here is waking up on Sunday morning. Do I go to church? This probably doesn't affect anybody here because you're all here, right? But I mean, I'm not sure I need to go to church today because, I'm doing okay, and I'm really glad that Cedar Ridge isn't a place that check up on you, and it really is, and it genuinely is a place where, if you need to go off and do something else on a Sunday, that's okay. Sunday's not the be-all and end-all. But at the same time, maybe there's somebody there who needed to interact with you. Maybe, actually, it's not so much about what you would get from it as much as what you will give to it. And this is, I think, the challenge for us as a community, not just on Sundays, but with everything. To what degree are we going to say, okay, I want to make a massive step forward in owning what God is calling us to here through our vision. And I'm not just going to benefit from it, but I'm going to make a way for other people to experience it. These eight tasks are all about making way for us to grow, but more than that, to include other people and to bring other people in this overarching theme of deeper and wider. Now, many opportunities will come up, but here's what you can do. Seven things you can do right now. Seven simple things right now. Okay. One, renew your commitment to personal growth. We could all do that right here and now. I mentioned this morning, probably the biggest gift we could give to the universe is to say, I will focus on positive transformation in my own life. That's probably the biggest gift you can give to everybody who's sat next to you right now. It's the biggest gift we can give to the people we love. It's the biggest gift we can give to our enemies. Renew our commitment to personal transformation. Two, join a discipleship group. If you're not part of a group, I encourage you, get in a group. Nobody's going to be forced into a group. It's just that in groups we experience the benefit of growth, community, and servanthood, particularly as it relates to personal transformation. So something we could all do right now is find a group and belong to a group. Three, serve to make a way for others on Sunday. In other words, and I'm going to get really practical about this, we need people to make coffee, we need people to serve communion, we need people to do the slides, we need people to run the sound booth, we need people to serve in children's ministry, we need people to serve in youth ministry, we need people to make everything that happens on Sunday happen. And honestly, we need more people, and we need people like you and me to step up and say, okay, I'm gonna make a way for other people by serving on Sunday. It's as simple as that. I mean, what if we all competed over the roles that nobody sees? The hidden roles. The whole, I mean, I know, you know, being up here in this area of the auditorium seems like the glamorous role. But there's so much more that goes on to make any of this happen. What if we decided we're going to compete to get the chance to do the unseen roles? If we could make that kind of commitment, what transformation would that cause in our church community? Number four, talk to someone you don't know on Sunday. Just talk. Look around the room and think, okay, my tendency, and I've shared with you this before, you know, I have all sorts of social anxiety. I try to only talk with people, if I go to a party, try to find the people I know and hang out with them, right? I'm in a job where I have to talk to everybody, so I kind of get paid to do it, so I have to do it. But what if you came out on Sunday and you said, hey, I've never spoken to that person before. And the worst that could happen is, like me, you go up to somebody and say, hey, welcome to Cedar Ridge. You know, how long have you been coming? And they say, 10 years. Still happens occasionally. It's a little embarrassing. But, you know, then you've got a point of conversation to discuss. So talk to somebody you don't know on Sunday. And then, fifthly, pull some weeds on the farm. Just, we could all just go and pull some weeds, just sign up on the website, adopt a plot, you know, that's part of our vision. We could just a very simple thing that we can do. What else have we got here? Renew your financial commitment to this community. You knew that one was coming. Right? We do need money. To live out this vision, we need money. So, you know, just think again about what you're giving. Think about the challenge of giving more. You know, that's between you and God. Maybe you're not giving on a regular basis. Think about, okay, do I want to give on a regular, disciplined way? Is that something I need to be doing as part of this renewed ownership? I think we have one more in there, Sarah. Share our vision personally with somebody. In other words, think about this. Would you consider inviting somebody to come to Cedar Ridge? If it seems appropriate, you know, I mean, if you've just never spoken to your next door neighbor, you knock on their door and say, would you like to come to my church? That's not what we're talking about, okay? But somebody you know well, so what about inviting them to come along? Or what about just nothing to do with Cedar Ridge, just share your life with somebody. Just share, just have a conversation with somebody and share about your own experience, your own personal growth, your own challenge in life. Just go to the next level in a conversation with somebody. That's, that may be somebody in our community or somebody at work or somebody in the family. That's that and all these other things are things that we can all do right now. We could all make those.